The Game is dedicated to keeping it real about women's hoops without the extra. We enjoy authentic conversations rooted in truth and honest criticism while also pushing the boundaries of routine sports talk. The WNBA is experiencing one of its biggest booms in exposure, and it's time to talk about these elite players the way they deserve. This is my court now, and I'm taking over the game. On today's episode of She Courts the Game, I have a very, 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 very good friend of mine named Kadeem Sabari. How you doing today, Kadeem?
I'm doing good. I'm doing great. It's a nice Sunday. The weather's been cooling down finally here in Texas. So, you know, it's great vibes.
So I happened to meet Kadeem through WNBA Twitter. And, of course, Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, is still Twitter to me. Spaces became really big within the WNBA community. And I think that's pretty much how we met each other, right? Just hopping in between each other's spaces. And then I don't know who slid in who DMs, but we friends now.
Yeah. Honestly, I'm one of those people. I'm really bad about remembering specifics on how I meet certain people. But, no, Twitter definitely was a lot of connections and spaces and mess. And now granted, sometimes I had a little too much wine being on the spaces talking to them people, but it was a great time. And now we're here.
Definitely. I think, well, we don't do spaces anymore because the way WNBA culture has changed, it's not that fun like it used to be. We can't say what we want to like we used to. So, you know, we have to get on podcasts and have these type of conversations. So one thing that I really liked about Kadeem was the fact that he was very authentic about his basketball takes. You know, some people don't like to use numbers all the time, but he's very good with intertwining numbers, with reason and facts, context and everything like that. And it's nice to just have somebody who can talk genuinely about basketball and not just the storylines, the drama, the conflict, the toxicness and everything else in between. So Kadeem, let's go ahead and just dive right on in, all right?
Yeah, I will say that was very nice. I love that little intro because, you know, I'm learning the numbers as we go. So, you know, being a student of the game is part of my education background.
Very much. Kadeem taught me what a hedge was. I still don't know what it is, but when I remember, I'm going to come back to it. Okay. So, first things first, how did you come to be a fan of the WNBA?
So for me, what really kind of started it was the fact that, honestly, it was on TV. In 2020, being in the bubble, putting all of those games on TV just made it so much easier for me to be able to see them. And once I was able to see it, I was hooked from the jump. I also had free cable with my apartment, so that was also really helpful. But going to South Carolina and like trying to follow some of those players like Tiffany Mitchell, it was just very hard. And so I was like, girl, I'm not going to do and jump through all these hoops. But then after the bubble happened and they were all on cable, ESPN, because nothing else was really going on, it just made it so much easier to kind of get access to it. And then once I got that access, I was never going to leave it again. And so it's just been a lot of fun to watch, really like the players. And because I was already really big into college basketball, it just seemed like an easy transition for me to follow them to that next step.
And I love that you bring up COVID and the bubble season and things like that, because that is also how I became a fan of the WNBA. I don't know who New York was hooping against, but I saw Sabrina Ionescu just hooping out the gym. And I said, oh, I need to be able to watch this like a lot more. And that's how I ended up coming across Winsider, just looking for some WNBA gigs, just trying to get into the game. So I really appreciate that, because I think that a lot of people kind of discount, you know, fans who kind of came over during the COVID era. But I think that's one of the biggest waves of people that have invested themselves in the WNBA. Just like now, we got a whole new wave of people coming in 4 years later because of Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, and things like that. So I definitely think that COVID helped issue in, like, you know, a new era of fans.
You know, it definitely helped a lot. And like, I had people who don't even watch the WNBA, but like some of my friends that I've met like in college and high school saw me tweeting about it and talking about it so much, they would even tune into some of the games like towards semifinals or the final. Now, granted, they was always rooting for my team because they my friends, but
as they should.
Exactly. But no, like just having that access for people who aren't even like, as we call casual fans, like just to be able to watch a game or two, like that was really that was huge for the league. So yeah, go bubble season. Woo.
Love the bubble season. So since you've been a fan since around like the 2020 year, how has it been like noticing this shift in the WNBA about like how it's being spoken about now compared to like years before, maybe even when you weren't a fan? And then how have you noticed like the league itself shifting since, you know, the boom in the recent years?
So I think for me, kind of watching from 2020 to now, it's one of the things I've noticed the most is that the players are a lot more vocal. I think that pivotal moment of them flipping that Senate seat in Georgia because they had that owner who was racist and also misogynistic, even though she was a woman herself. Like, I think just having that moment for them really kind of empowered them as a league and players to be like, you know, we have a lot more power in our voice. And so you've noticed that over the years, more and more players, even people who are top 10 draft picks and things like that, have been speaking about the league a lot more and just how awesome the women are, how powerful they are, just great business women and as players. And so I think that's been a great shift that I've noticed over the years, is just watching more women step into their bag, so to speak, when it comes to just being vocal about what they want. And you also see more unification amongst the players as well, because I think prior to, it was just kind of, you know, we hoop, we go home, we don't have what we want, have what we need. But I think, like I said, being in that bubble and kind of coming together for that was really pivotal in the fact that they have a lot more power than they probably ever thought that they did. And so outside of that, in terms of from the public eye, I think that it goes in waves, because as you know, the W has had pivotal moments. They've had great series. They've had great games over the years. But I think sometimes it just kind of comes and goes in waves in terms of how people talk about it. After 2020, you know, social media craze was huge, like TikTok was huge. And so I think just kind of bringing in that new era of how people talk about sports in general, a lot of people are looking more at the highlight reels, which you've always had that with basketball. But I just kind of love now that people are getting that for the W as well, putting together those TikToks, putting together those Instagram reels, even if it's talking about hot mess. Now, you know, I'm a little gossip girl sometimes and I love the mess. But I think even that has been really helpful in how people have talked about the league, because more eyes are on it.
I agree with all of your sentiments. I think that one of the biggest things that people don't understand when it comes to the WNBA is that because they're subsidized by the NBA, they don't have a lot of control on their own. So whereas you say NBA players demanding trades, bigger contracts, and all these other type of things, WNBA players didn't always have the same power that they've achieved over the past few years that they do now. So I do really think it's interesting that you point out the Kelly Loeffler, Atlanta Dream flip of the vote and everything like that, because I do think that it honestly gave people like a reason to like step up, like player wise. Like, hey, we can't just be basketball players anymore. Like, hey, I'm a mother. Hey, I'm a wife. I represent this underrepresented group, and I want to be that person to, you know, step up for them and be able to show a different picture. When it comes to the WNBA, what do you think is one of the biggest misconceptions that people have about it?
Whew, because I could go down the list. But I think really one of the biggest misconceptions is that it's boring. I've never really understood where that came from, because like when you think about it, you have, for instance, like soccer. You have the men's soccer league, you have the women's soccer league, but it's still the same sport. Like, it's still soccer. Some of the rules may be slightly different, like technicalities and things like that, but it's still the same sport. Same thing with tennis. Not because women's tennis, now I can get into that one. But you tennis as well, you have men's tennis, you have women's tennis. It's still the same sport, just some different rules, maybe like technical aspects of it that change, but it's still the same thing. And you don't see people necessarily having that same energy towards it. Like, if you look at Venus and Serena, they started their careers in the early 90s, and you know, tennis was on and pop, and it was an international sport. They were going everywhere, which type of way. They had huge amount of crowds, so you never really had people kind of dealing with the whole, oh, it's still boring, oh, this is boring, you know, they saw X, Y, and Z. But I feel like sometimes with women's basketball in particular, they go through a tougher challenge in the sense of people love to say it's boring, even though it's the same sport. Like, I don't know why that misconception is there, because it's literally basketball. And like, if you like basketball, you should be able to pick up on what they're doing. It's a more fundamentally sound version of the game as well. I think that's probably one of the biggest misconceptions is that it's boring, because at the end of the day, if you like basketball, you like basketball. So I don't see why you would find it to be boring. You don't have to like it, but you don't have to go out of your way to just be like, oh, it's boring, because that's just factually incorrect.
Very much. And my boyfriend, like, he's somebody who started watching the WNBA by dating me because I covered them. And now his favorite team is the New York Liberty. He's sitting here stressed in the WNBA finals and everything that's going on. He's learning players' names, where they're from. He has a nickname for Sabrina Ionescu called Bri-Bri. Like, it's a whole thing. Not now. Bri-Bri. It's so, I just think it's funny because the misconception that women have to be dunking and playing super physical in the WNBA is why I think people try to say that is boring. Mm-hmm. But honestly, let's do the comparison real quick. So like the NBA, I'm not saying they're not as skilled, because obviously, like, you know, they've been here for 78-ish years or whatever is going on. So over time, the product has become better and better. But also the WNBA is trending at the same pace, if not even a little bit better, as the NBA was in its first 30 years as well. And that was without dunking. That was without a whole bunch of physical play. And you have some of the best players in the world coming from overseas in different parts, different countries, just to play in the WNBA. So I certainly don't think the product is boring at all.
Yeah, and like you bring up a good point, because that's also something I don't think people, let me not say people realize, because they absolutely do know this, because it takes 2 seconds to Google, that the WNBA only really played their first game starting in 1997. And it's only 2024. Mm-hmm. The NBA has been around, like you said, almost a whole century. And baby, let me tell you one thing about it, two things for certain. That product you see now was not the product that it was when it started. And to be honest, they barely started turning a profit, and that wasn't until about the early 1980s. So they went almost an entire 30-something years before they consistently started turning profits. And so people turn around and say, oh, the W is boring. Oh, they don't make money, X, Y, and Z. Well, your favorite league was in that same position when they started. And so I think there's just this misconception that it's boring. And if we can get into that later, this is not that type of podcast, but it's all linked into misogyny and, you know, racism and X, Y, and Z. But there's just really no reason why, of all things you want to call it, it's boring, because that's just not true.
I think if people were to take a step back and get over these tired tropes and just longstanding perceptions of how things should be viewed and women are inferior to men, you might find out that some of your favorite women's basketball players might be a little better than your favorite NBA players or whoever else you like to watch. So since we are talking about the boom of the WNBA and viewership, fans, all of this different type of stuff, how do you feel about stan culture? This season, we saw that Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark came into the WNBA. So much discourse about the two of them, the rivalry, the one is better than the other, the rookie of the year race was back to back. Who had more records? Who had more team records? Who had more league records? It's a lot. So ultimately, how do you feel about stan culture making its way to the WNBA, and how groups are using players like Clark, like Reese, Asia Wilson, Breonna Stewart, and others as a guise to mask, you know, the message that they're actually trying to send?
Ooh, stans, my God. You know, a message to the stans is to find a hobby and find a life. You know, find something better to do with your time. You know, get a job, because I just...
Good job.
No, but for real, it's very weird behavior to me. I don't really like stan culture, and you see it a lot with music artists as well. Like, it's a very weird behavior to use a celebrity's image to like kind of push your own agenda. I've always thought that to be very weird, because you really don't have to do that. You can just say what you want. Like, you can literally say what you want to say behind any old random TV show character burn or anything like that. But the fact that you're going out of your way to use a real life person to push your agenda is quite asinine. And it extends beyond, you know, these players as well, because that's just society as a whole. But I just find it to be very weird. And then it creates this unnecessary discourse that has really nothing to do with basketball, because you can look objectively at the numbers, you can watch the games and kind of see what's going on. But people, whenever these stands come into the mix, people then all of a sudden have a feeling, or like they think they have this obligation to quote unquote defend people against these stands. And you really don't have to do that, because your quote unquote defense of this player is actually making the situation worse, because you're not really defending anybody at all. You're now putting this player in a similar situation that you said the stands are doing. It's really the same behavior, just on the other side of the coin. And so I think that's why having this weird stand culture in the W is just something that I think is not going to go away. So I'm not going to sit here and just try to be like, oh, it should just stop. Y'all should, because it's not going to go away. It's an unfortunate part of our society. But I do find it to be very weird behavior. I do think you need to find a job and a hobby or a partner or something.
All of the above is also an option. Yeah. I do think that stan culture coming into the WNBA has its pros and its cons. So for one, we have more people interested in the game, whether it's for good or for bad. For the good, we get things like Dejanay Carrington and Alyssa Smith, you know, comp videos on TikTok, you know, and Alyssa picking her up off the floor, making sure she's okay. The little love trying to get back together this season and everything. Like, you know, it has some pros, but the cons kind of outweigh everything else that comes with it. I will say, like, this season, I have probably said less opinions than I ever had. And that's just more so me protecting my peace from cussing y'all out. Because a lot of people don't know how to act on social media these days. And like you said, they're taking on these, like, parasocial relationships, trying to act like they know these people in real life and everything that's going on with them. You know, even if you might know a little bit about them or have a little connection with them, you're still not with them on the day-to-day. So I do think that stan culture is getting out of hand, but I do think that, you know, WNBA Commissioner Kathy Engelbert, she also kind of missed the mark on that by not, you know, denouncing the racism, the misogyny, or the discrimination coming from stan culture by saying, you know, hey, rivalries are good for the league. We need rivalries like Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese, instead of, like, you know, kind of just debunking and saying, hey, like, we don't stand for this. The WNBA is very much known for being a progressive league. Like you said, just bringing up the change with the Atlanta Dream that they did in 2020 for the bubble. So it's very interesting to see when the head of the snake is not following in line with the body.
Yeah, it is. It's very interesting. And I think also part of it has to, now this is just my speculation, but I think also part of it has to do with the fact that we are, you know, under the NBA. Because now, granted, I don't watch them men. So if somebody listening, you can correct me.
That's a lie. I just want to put it out there. Kadeem is a Dallas Mavericks fan. Are you not?
I do live here. So I do.
I see the logo in the background. I know the people can't see it, but I can see the logo.
I got that for free. But so I do keep, you know, a little bit more eyes on the Mavs because I do live here. I've been to 2 games and we lost both of them. So maybe I'll try again this year and see if we win this, the one that I go to. But I feel like part of the speculation is that because, again, we're under the NBA. The NBA has had issues with racism and whatnot for years. And I, to my knowledge, I don't know if they've ever actually said anything about it, because it still happens on a regular basis. You watch more than I do. But have you ever seen Adam Silver come out and say something about it?
So the only thing that I can think about is the bubble season and how they were able to wear the patches and the names on their jersey and have the names on the court and stuff like that. I believe Adam could have said something at the time, but don't quote me on that. I could, you know, do a quick Google search. But like, even like in modern day 2024, with everything that's happening, the NBA has a lot of things like domestic violence, racism, and a whole bunch of other stuff that happens with their players. They don't exclusively come out and make statements against like these type of actions.
Yeah, so like, I would not expect our commissioner to also say something, because like, that's just not really something you see in most of these modern sports, like the NFL, the NBA. Like, you really don't see commissioners coming out and saying things like that, because no tea, no shade. A lot of the owners would probably be like, that's not what we're here for. We are here to do the business of the sport, and that's it, and make money. So like, I'm not surprised she didn't say anything like that, because yes, the players are a lot more progressive and the league tries to be more progressive, but also, again, the person that is our commissioner came from Deloitte. She is a very much business-minded person. And if it's not about the money, and if it's not about what's going to bring the eyes, 9 times out of 10, you probably won't hear her say anything about it.
So while we're on the topic of Kathy, so for me, I feel like Kathy is one of the commissioners who has done a lot for the league, but isn't necessarily liked by all. So even though the rollout of consistent charter flights wasn't as nice, wasn't as pretty as people would have liked, like we finally got them. A new CBA agreement is coming up where players are going to push to have more revenue sharing and things like that. Where in the last CBA, they got paid maternity leave, for the season if they were pregnant and things like that. So how do you feel about Kathy and how she's transformed the league in such a short amount of time?
To be honest, if you compare her to past and previous commissioners, I think she's done a good job for doing so much for the league in such a short amount of time in terms of getting us to expansion, charter flights, just better deals in general. Like the Eye on Friday Night thing, I thought was not hilarious. I thought it was a great thing for us because, again, yeah, it gets more eyes on the game, on actual TV itself. So does she miss the mark on some of the social stuff? Yes, but you can see through her track record why they kind of hired her based off her experience with Deloitte and where we've gotten in terms of as a league and as a business. So is she someone I'd be like, hey, girl, let's go get tea and let's talk about life? Absolutely not. But in terms of being a business-minded person, I think she's probably what the league needed in the moment when they hired her.
Yeah. That was literally what I was going to say next. I think the league is ready to move itself into being a, well, not legitimate business, but like a more profitable business and able to, you know, really give the women the shine and the exposure that they deserve. Because honestly, like, Kathy and her kitten heels be getting stuff done. Every year there's something new. Mm-hmm. We got a broadcast rights deal. We getting flights. You know, players get something. It's some, things are happening. And that also gives a shout out to the WNBA's Player Association. Because those women, Nneka Ogumike, Kelsey Plum, Chinee Ogumike, the girls are in the kitchen. And they're cooking. They're getting stuff done. And I like what I'm seeing from everybody.
Yeah, like they have really done a really good job in terms of really stepping up and putting their money with their mouth is after the bubble season. Like you said, the players, especially Madam President three times, don't play with her neck, Ogumike. But yeah, like they've really done a good job of putting their foot on the necks and putting their foot on the gas and like kind of keeping it going. And so Kathy was good for what they needed at the time because a lot of the stuff that they needed is finally done and they've been talking about. And of course, I think sometimes people, and this is society as a whole, I think sometimes people are very unrealistic in how long it takes things to really change. And you see it a lot on social media, people who have never even been close to being in some of these positions in their own career fields are over here trying to be like, oh, well, why isn't this done? Why isn't this done? Rome wasn't built in a day and neither was this league. Like, hello? These things take a lot of time to get done. And what is your personal priority as a fan is not necessarily going to be the priority for the league. Like, that's another thing you see with society. Your priority is not the priority of everyone else because we're very individualistic. I'm using my good GRE word, individualistic society. And so it's one of the things that really just bothers me just in general about how people talk about sports. And because the league is so new in terms of like sports years, that your priority is not what's best for everyone. And I think sometimes we forget that, which is why she's gotten so many critiques, because they have it. The things that they want to change are not the things that have changed. And also, let's be quite clear. Some of y'all, most of y'all don't have the license to be making any decisions. So let's find your place.
Oh. This conversation is so effortless. I love talking basketball with you because I always feel like it's very genuine and we come from a perspective that's very objective and honest. You know, we can have bias when the Aces are playing, you know, my team is hooping on the court, things like that. But when it comes to like the business of the game and how our front offices choose to do things, you know, we're not really in there. We only know what's like in the inside coming out. So while I think Kathy has done a very good job in the, what, 5 years she's been in the WNBA, I understand where some of the criticism comes from because, like you said, socially, she isn't hitting the mark all the way. And I think that she could do a little bit more.
You know, just read a little bit more books, you know, maybe talk to some more people, diversify your friends list maybe a little bit. But in terms of getting the league worse, you know, I'll give you that one. You doing your big one in them shoulder pads and them kitten heels.
With the Minecraft dress, don't forget
it. We love that dress, and so does she.
So as we wrap this episode, Kadeem, I just want to point out, you're one of those fans that has a lot of connections with WNBA media. And we love you, of course, all of us love you. So what is it like being a fan who is really good friends with media members who you're able to get a little bit more information, a little bit more context about things that are happening behind the scenes? How do you like it, you know, to be an insider?
You know, hoes hate me because I'm the it girl. I will say, I actually really enjoy it because, again, as someone who is a newer fan to the league, and like I said, the sports bug hit me a little bit later. Being able to have those connections and wonderful friends, because you are more than just the connection, it really helped me learn a lot more about how kind of the league operates on different levels and how much effort really goes into making some of these decisions and getting some of this change to happen. But whether good or bad, just having that connection is very helpful. And it also helps me to remember that, you know, people have jobs to do and that, you know, sometimes they're just trying their best, and that it helps prevent me from being one of those fans who just does nothing but throw critique after critique after critique, even though I claim to be a champion. But all you see me ever doing on social media is like critiquing the league. So it prevents me from being one of those people. And at the end of the day, I know if I have a question, I can always ask because of those connections, because someone will probably be able to tell me the answer.
Absolutely, all the time.
You know, sometimes we should ask more questions rather than throw accusations.
Mm-hmm. Because, you know, when you assume, you do what?
You look like an ass.
So, Kadeem, do you have any last thoughts that you would like to share before we send you off?
Yes. So, one of the things that, speaking of as a business, one of the things that I think the league probably should stop doing is stop trying to go to social media to find, like, I guess, talent. That's probably one of their biggest things, because, again, we're in the age of social media, and so I know it seems like a trendy thing to do, but I feel like we could probably try to hire some more professionals and also stop making mistakes on graphics. If there's a number one thing I want them to do is stop making mistakes on graphics, because you're too grown. The league is too grown, and we need to stop doing that. Because Angel plays on the Aces and not the Sparks. My God.
Not the Sparks. Oh, my gosh. When they put that little Sparks graphic, I said, my goodness. But I understand, because, like, as a social media manager myself, and sometimes even with the graphics team, like, you're doing so much, you have, like, a one time where you don't double check something just to get it out. So I'm going to extend a little grace, but not too much, because it's Asia. You know, 3-time MVP, 2-time champion Asia.
And it's also something, like, that you knew was going to come out. So that's my biggest thing, is like, I try to extend grace when it's like something that was last minute, but like, you knew who was on that first team, and it was, and also the Sparks sucked. No tea, no shade. They sucked this year. So ain't nobody was going to be on that first team from there.
Yeah. I don't know why Los Angeles was in that graphic at all. They ended up like 10th.
I think they ended up 12th. Actually, let's look, because I want to be messy.
My last thought would be that I would like for people to stop complaining about WNBA games being scheduled at the same
time. Talk about it. Oh, my God.
I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't already know, teams come up with the times that they play. The schedule is decided by the league on the days. However, it is not up to the league to decide what time a team decides to play. So please, please, please stop adding the WNBA on their accounts. Stop posting a screenshot of all the games starting at 7:30. If there are games on the East Coast, they're going to start at 7:30. If there are games on the West Coast, they're going to start at 10. And they might all start at the same time. So find a team that you like and just go ahead and tap in.
Hello, somebody, because let's not forget, the priority is the butt in the seat, not the person on the couch. Also, very confirmed, they came in 12th this year, so that was last.
If you didn't hear that, Sparks came in 12th, so remember that. But I agree, like Kadeem was just saying, like, if a game on the East Coast is starting at 10 o'clock at night, who's going to show up to that game? Like, physically, the fans are not going to be there because that game is starting at 10 o'clock at night. night. So it has to start at 7:30, you know, 8 o'clock. Can't start around 5 or 6 because people are still getting off work and commuting. So, you know, you can whine to somebody else, but please stop whining online about the times that WNBA games start. I beg
you. And we're going to end on a positive note because I was going to say something real shady about you people, but I'm going to let you live today.
Thank you for joining this episode, Kadeem, of She Courts the Game, and we will definitely have you back soon.
You know, I would love to be back. It's such a joy talking to you as always.